aging well and ageism. And I mean, I guess first, like, why are we even bringing this up? Mm-hmm. Like, why are we even having a conversation about aging? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing it.
It's inevitable. It's inevitable. Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the things was I had a girlfriend talk to me. It's been a conversation for the past year, especially in media here in Canada. And it was a lot about our fears. Mm. And it keeps coming up about aging. Yeah. Yeah. How do we do it well? All kinds of things. And so that's out of dinner parties and girlfriend conversations. That's why I'm bringing it to you.
Yeah.
So let's start off with the negatives about aging. I mean, how do you really feel about it? It's inevitable. It's happening. How do we feel about aging? And that's not really positive.
No, it's not fun. Like, your body's doing stuff that's not okay. Like, where did that come from? That's a new role. I don't know. Like, I don't like it.
It did not get the memo.
Yeah. Hot flashes. I'm about to turn 49. And I'm just saying, no, it's just, there's
so the body, changing. It's like the body is changing.
Like, I'm like, there's wrinkles, there's mm-hmm. gray hair, there's yeah. all the things. And I'm like, oh, that's not cool. That's not cool. Yeah.
So the negative would be obviously like the physical yeah. stuff that we didn't have before that we're having now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's one thing. For sure.
Now, Joanna, you're the youngest of us.
Thank you for noticing.
So, just saying. I mean, we're talking about aging, so it's sort of like, so how do you feel? Like, what would you say is a negative that you're just like, oh, I don't want to do this?
Well, the older you get, the more humble you have to be about this topic.
Yeah.
Because if everybody's doing it. Uh-huh. I recently have been growing out my bangs. Yes. And I now see wrinkles where I didn't notice them before, which is such a silly thing, but I hadn't seen them in a few years.
Yeah.
And since now my face is showing again, I'm seeing the aging in my own face.
Yeah.
I'm seeing the aging in all of us on this show, like over the last many seasons.
Yeah.
It's just happening.
Yeah. It's happening.
So the physical aging of it all. Okay.
Yeah.
Cheryl?
I feel like my answer is going to probably lead us into all the other places, beautiful places you have for us today, Melinda. But I feel like I've always acted very young. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot to do with the work that I do, the ministry work. I'm around youth all my life. Mm-hmm. So I act like them. I talk like them. So I've kept this vitality. However, I've noticed like maybe a loss of opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so in here, I'm still rocking it out. But then I noticed sort of a shift in like, well, we went with someone like that could speak more to it. I'm like, oh, so the things I would have been considered for, I'm watching that sort of like slow down. And I'm like, okay, I gotta wrap my head around that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I would agree for all of this. True. I think the biggest thing for me is I don't have the energy I used to. Uh-huh. Like, you know, when you were a lot younger, you could stay up really late, just push through 13 hours and then go. And I can't do that. Yeah. I think the physical, like that's part where I'm like, I don't look youthful anymore, and there's wrinkles and sagging, and I also pull out sagging, you know. And you know, if you're going through perimenopause or menopause, I mean, there's a whole bunch of other stuff with that. But the other part too, I think, Cheryl, that you're right. I really embraced as a youth speaker, being in the youth space. I was invited a lot to the table of youth things, and now as you get older, it's different. It's just that you're not. Yeah. As included as much. And I've noticed that shift and I had to grieve it. And I think I'm still grieving that a little bit. Yeah. I also think in media, there's a very much of an awareness of I'm getting older. How long you stay and host a show?
Yeah.
How long do people want to see you as you age on national TV or presence? So I think those are real things. I think those are real challenges that a lot of us and women face as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
It's real.
It's real.
But I want to shift it now because I think acknowledging that's important. But I think going to the positive, because I think I want to kind of like, you know, reframe, get a new, you know, set of like, this is what I want to see aging as and doing it well. Yes. So let's talk about some positive things about aging.
I'd love to start.
You go. You go.
I just want to make a declaration that 50 is the new 30.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And so what 50 looked like in before, it looks like, look at the grandmothers now. Yeah. Like, we are holding it down. Yes. I'm not a grandmother, just wanted to say.
Yeah.
But it's just really cool to see this sort of new evolution of middle-aged people and how they're approaching life. Mm-hmm. The benefit for me is the filters are gone. So you are going to get 100% truth, and no has become my favorite word. Mm-hmm. The people pleasing, I know I'm taking all of them, has stopped.
Okay.
Love it. not doing anything that I don't want to do. Yeah. And I'm okay with it.
Yeah. And that's awesome. That's a huge positive.
Huge.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe, positive.
I think the older you get, the more patient you are with like how long things take to change, mm-hmm. how long you take to change. I think you have more grace for yourself. But like we often say life is so short, and that's true. But also life is long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking at still decades ahead of me and now decades behind me. Mm-hmm. And so like all that has happened, all that I've learned, all that I've accomplished, all the people I've encountered, like how am I going to keep building that for a long-term vision of the future and do that like with a patience mm-hmm. rather than like a sense of like everything has to happen now.
That's good. I think I make better decisions because mm-hmm. we've lived through a whole lot of stuff, made a whole lot of mistakes, been in seasons and stages of life I never imagine. So now I think I make better decisions. And like you said, Shirley, like I'm way better at saying no, mm-hmm. you know, the people pleasing. I still want to help, be helpful, like, you know, those things, but the people pleasing thing, kind of that just keeps going. The older you get, I'm like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. no.
Yeah.
and it's good. Okay. And it does feel good. There's a freedom in it a little bit, but also, I just feel like I embrace Jesus differently too. Mm-hmm. I don't know, the older I get. I'm not out to perform for him either. Mm. I really, really desire just me and him.
Yes,
more than
I
want to do this for you and I want to do this for you and I want to.
That's good.
That has actually really changed for me.
That's great.
That part.
This was good for me because I had to sit in this about the positives of aging. Mm. And I think I'm hearing you all and I think I agree. I think there is a part of finally coming to the true Melinda, like what was I created to do and be, and to be able to just sit in it and be really content with that space. Not to say there isn't some people pleasing mixed in and performance and value, but there is more of a peace and calm. I don't feel like I have to hustle and mm-hmm. do as much because I know who I am. And I think it's funny, and this is something just really hilarious, where I still think I need a mentor. Like, I'm looking like, oh, I need a mentor for my life. And then I've got young women coming to me to be mentored. I'm like, what? Uh-huh. I'm so young to be your mentor.
Yes.
They're like,
yes.
No, you're not. You got decades on me, Mel. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, right. Like, I have the experience that young women, next generation, want. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that has been really beautiful.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
So I think it's really encouraging because I think a lot of times, like, why do we sit so much on the negative of aging versus what we're just saying in the positive? Why is that about women and society?
Because we are our own worst enemies.
Yes, that's true.
We are so hard on ourselves and we see our lives through loss rather than gains.
I think it's like in part the worship of youthfulness and beauty, but this is a cultural thing informed by, of course, like no hope of heaven. Like I think we're so short-sighted. Maybe that's part of the patience I'm talking about gaining with age, that like we're just thinking about everything is here and now. YOLO, you only live once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, I think for the Christian, we should have a longer view of how to think about life and our impact.
Yeah.
And so, I think that we continually are trying to adopt the wrong way. Like, we're adopting too often the wrong way of thinking about what aging is.
Mm, that's good. I work part-time at a women's clothing store. Mm. And I see every day women that hate their bodies, hate their faces, hate the way they look. And I live in a town where there's an extreme amount of Botox. There's extreme amount of everything because of this. But my dad used to say, girls, look for the people with the white hair because they're the ones that have lived a long life, especially with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And can I just read one quick thing? And this, we're talking about ageism. When you turn 40, you need glasses. When you turn 48, 49, you need bifocals. But I read this in Proverbs 16. It just said, a gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. And in the Message, it says, gray hair is a mark of distinction, the award for a God-loyal life. Underneath this box, color is a lot of gray. And I want this, I want my gray hair, like the award for a God-loyal life. Like,
love that.
You should just be like, this is good, the aging. Like, let's go for it.
And that's what I hope. I want this show, this conversation to encourage women and men. Yeah. Like, we can sit in the negative, or we're going to choose the positive and say, the gray hairs, the bifocals, the loss of opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, this is where we are. God is continually working in us in just different ways.
Yeah.
And in the way of wisdom and experience. So ageism refers to how we think, which is the stereotype, how we feel, which is prejudice, and how we act, which is discrimination towards others or ourselves according to age. Mm.
Yeah.
And from the UN.org, this is fascinating. Globally, 1 in 2 people are ageist against older people, but in Europe, ageism is more prevalent against younger than older people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Initial thoughts on that. So, like, think about that number. 1 in 2 people are ageist against older people. Mm. 1 in 2.
Yeah.
My dad is from Europe, and I remember I had an opportunity to go take a job in the U.S., and he said to me, when I was in my 20s, and he said to me, if you want to go, you can go, but remember, when you get old in America, they don't know what to do with you anymore.
Wow.
And I thought that was interesting as a European's perspective on the America. And I think that's similar in Canada, but maybe less pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
There is something to that about, there's this special age, whatever the magical age is that we're all trying to be. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And when you're either too young for it or too old for it, and very rarely are you the right age for whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
So why is it important for us to talk about it? Because I don't think we talk about it enough, mm-mm. and we just live in it. But why do you think it's important to talk about it?
Yeah, I think our words matter. I think we have the opportunity to make a difference and shift thinking and culture right now. I feel like we miss out on so much when we deny and ostracize. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're missing huge pockets of wisdom, mentorship, leadership. I think we suffer when we are ageist,
mm-hmm.
and so it's our loss. We need to correct that.
Yeah, so true.
Have we experienced ageism, Kim? Have you experienced ageism?
Yeah, you know what? I think my kids have experienced. I have 2 sons that couldn't get jobs, even though they are hardworking and brilliant guys, because they were they're too young. Mm-hmm. They can't do it.
Yeah.
They won't be able to. And yet, smartest kids. Of course, that I know, but hardworking, and they've had to prove so hard. Mm-hmm. So it's so funny. Like, we've all started somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're not getting help or opportunity. And then, on the older side of things, like, they're too old to do it now. Like, mm-hmm. it just, you're right. There's this, like, where's this middle part where, oh, we know everything, we've got it all together. Like, please tell me where that is. But I've seen it with my kids a lot.
But have you? Have you personally?
Well, people think I'm younger than I am.
Okay.
And
yeah, me too.
People always think I'm younger. They think I'm in my 30s, which is fantastic. Thank you.
That's cool.
However, there's sometimes I get mad at that because I'm like, no, I want to look like I'm 49.
Give me some respect.
Yeah. Give me some respect.
Exactly.
I've been through a lot. Yeah.
Have you, Cheryl?
I look younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm not demanding that respect. I'm gonna lie and live right in that sweet spot for a minute longer.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think for the women that don't look younger, I've heard stories that they've been treated with disrespect, pushed aside, hurry it up.
Right.
Comments of older women driving a car. I mean, all of these things, build into ageism in the comments we say and the assumptions and the prejudice and the bias, all of those things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think when I was young, there are a lot of times, even in workplaces, I wasn't invited to the table because they're like, you're too young. You wouldn't know.
Right.
You wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
Right. You wouldn't know yet. You don't know. Yeah. So I did experience that a lot because, again, like, I act and look younger. So I was always kind of like,
Yes.
We don't need your voice.
Yeah.
Joanna, how much do you think that someone's age influences their opportunities or disadvantages in life?
I think it's on both sides, as we've kind of been saying, that it does influence it, but it comes at both sides either. But that there's this magical age, I don't know what it is, you're either too young or too old for. And then I think people, again, they either write you off or... Mm-hmm. Or they assume the wrong age. I mean, everyone's trying to peg how old is this person. And I know that for me as a single person, like, they can't peg me because I don't have children.
Yes.
And so they're like, like, you might be this, you might be that, but everyone's trying to peg you so that they can put you in a box and make decisions about, you know, what you're able to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
What worries you the most about ageism? Like, what, we're sitting here having a conversation because clearly I think it worries me. It's a topic that's important for us to discuss, just to confront, for us to stand as sisters when a woman is, you know, called out or, you know, let go or whatever because of her age. I mean, it's important to discuss.
Yeah.
But what worries you the most about it?
So my message is for the church. I'll do the church piece. Coming from a particular culture and then moving into an evangelical space, I'm seeing a real difference in attitudes towards older people. Mm-hmm. From my culture, we honor the elderly. We give them office and space in the church. They literally have legitimate places to speak into things and give governance. And over on this side, my sort of new world, it's hipper, the younger, the more relevant, the more fresh is the thing that we're trying to project to be attractive. And what ends up happening is you have a very young, very infantile, very immature sometimes body that is not as grounded as it could be and is missing out on like key roles of mentorship. And then I just see people running to sort of like the elders, whoever it is, and saying like, we need counsel for our marriage, for our life, for our children. So I feel like I'd love to see the church develop an appreciation for that sort of role in the church community.
That's good.
Yeah.
Joanna, what worries you the most?
Well, I see that a lot of my friends now are, you know, I won't out any of them by name, but a lot of them are doing surgeries and Botox and all kinds of things to make themselves look younger. I guess it starts in your 30s. And I just think it's so focused on ourselves. There are so many other bigger problems in the world. And that doesn't mean we can't try to make ourselves look our best. But it feels like my concern is the pendulum swings so far into our self-interest and how are we looking and how are we doing that we forget there's all these needs. And there's these wisdoms and experience that come with age that we can offer to the world rather than trying to hide.
Yeah. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's so good.
So I feel concerned for my friends being too influenced by a worldly view of what age is as opposed to a godly view.
Yeah. Good. Kim?
Feeling irrelevant, not needed. There's something about like getting older, like, well, they don't, I'm going to be not needed. My hairdresser said to me not long ago, all of my hair is gray, all of it. And she's like, well, just let it go gray. Everyone's doing it. I'm like, I can't I just can't do it yet because with it just comes that stigma of, she's old.
I think what worries me the most about this is that we as women don't speak up against it in that and live it out. Like what you were saying, it's like if I'm saying I don't want to be ageist and I don't want to be in this world of ageism, but I'm not supporting older women or younger women, or I'm saying things that are actually ageist because I don't, it's just what we say. Or I am so much about my outward appearance and not my inner, you know, workings of what God is doing. That worries me. And I think, so really what worries me is if me. Because I don't want to be so consumed with it that I lose sight of love and the care for the world and the needs of the world and what God is calling us to do because I'm so caught up in this and getting older. And I think that that worries me. But this doesn't worry me because I think what we're saying today is really important. I think it's about truth and I think it's hard conversations to have and it reflects on us as we process. So thank you. I really, really appreciate that. But to you, our viewers and listeners, thanks for joining us. I hope you're encouraged that you will celebrate where you are, your age, and know that God can use you, and also know that you are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God as you are being renewed day by day. Thanks for joining us.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Here Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.